Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, all right, we're getting Chairman John Wall from the Alabama Republican Party on the phone. I got to tell you, I got a text here from Lewis from Birmingham. He says, this is easy. He's been in a New York courtroom for more than half a year, thanks to the libs. He has property. He's been in the state. He's a New Yorker. So Lewis thinks that we're just good to go ahead and say Trump is a resident of New York. Call or done. Let's find out what the guy knows who lives, sleeps, eats, drinks, and breathes this stuff on a daily basis. Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall's on the line. Hey, John, how you doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Absolutely. Good to have you. Appreciate you making some time. I know you are super busy. I got to ask you, what's the speculation at the party level? I mean, I know you're on the national scene all the time with the RNC, but you're also dealing with stuff here in Alabama. So the Veep Stakes is what I've been calling this. What are we going to see for our vice president? And can Ron DeSantis from Florida be on the ticket with him? What do you think?
Well, look, I think we're all asking ourselves that question this week, right? There's these reports coming out. Obviously, the meeting went well between President Trump and DeSantis. And look, no matter what, I think this is a very good thing for the Republican Party, whether that conversation they had was about him being VP or whether it's just them working forward, working together, moving forward. This is good. This is what we want to see. We want to see the two of them together. These are the leading two biggest figures in Republican politics in the country. And you've got Donald Trump, our nominee right now. And then, in DeSantis, you have probably a future nominee for president of the United States for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about it. And people are forgetting there's a lot of other positions besides VP, potentially in the Trump cabinet or things that are being worked on. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting things moving right now, and I think Ron DeSantis would make an intriguing vice president candidate.
Yeah, I don't know if you see it or not. I was talking about it right before you came on the air. But apparently the 12th Amendment to the Constitution seems to prevent two people from the same state being president and vice president on the ballot.
No, that is correct. And that's why I have spoken with, I don't want to say skepticism, but I think some people have jumped the gun here saying that DeSantis is the pick. Just because they had a good meeting does not mean it was about a VP situation. Or maybe it was, and we're going to see, like you're talking about, maybe Trump does move to another state. Hey, we take him in Alabama.
Oh, yeah, we would. And absolutely. And I look at it and think, too, you want somebody who can govern on day one for a variety of reasons. Always you want that as a VP. I think Biden did not do that. Biden just pulled someone purely for demographics. But then at the same time, Trump is in his, near 80s. He is also, by the way, under a lot of pressure, and who knows what's going to happen with his illegalities. Having DeSantis on the ticket appears to carry the ball, even if Trump was not there.
Well, and here's a very important point, and this is for anyone who's ever thinking about actually picking, if you're running for president, you're the Republican nominee, and you're like, okay, who do I want as my VP? Something that has to go through your mind is I want someone who is as strong as I am, who the opposition party fears as much or more than they do me. And I think Ron DeSantis is definitely in that category. There's a reason Republicans haven't gone for impeachment on Joe Biden. They don't want Kamala Harris. there's something to taking a nominee that people are just as concerned about as they are you. And I think the liberals are almost as afraid of Ron DeSantis as they are Donald Trump.
So Republicans look for the VP who they should fear because he would do a great job, he or she. And Democrats do it because they fear that they would ever be able to, get over it. And so they put them there as a fire insurance. It's
this,
crazy.
This, my friend, is the difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party.
And I don't know if you saw it, by the way. I was lampooning it a little while ago, but Drew Barrymore did an interview with Kamala Harris. And it was like this cringy, kind of touchy-feely, in your personal space, I want you to be the mamala for the world and give us all a hug. Mm. And I thought, that is the most god-awful thing I've ever seen.
That is actually downright creepy. But look, That is also, in my opinion, Kamala Harris being the vice president is what has really curbed the Democrats from trying to replace Joe Biden as their nominee. They have a hard time going around Kamala Harris if Biden is not. And she probably performs just as bad or worse in the polls.
Oh, yeah. Easily bad. Well, more to come on this. Let me ask you one quick question more on politics. There's been a lot of talk about Governor Noem, who, you know, I've always liked her style. I don't know that she'd be the VP, but I've liked her style and the way she governs. But this past week, the whole thing about killing her puppy seems to have really taken a hit. Is that a fatal hit, or is it just one of those flash-in-the-pan moments?
Well, I think it doesn't help because I think she was already, you know, she's already fading a little bit. Her peak was back during the COVID epidemic, and I don't want to take anything away from it. I think she did a tremendous job, stood up for people's rights and freedoms, for their medical freedom, yeah. And you know, kind of told the federal government, get out of my state. Those are the types of governors we need. But she's kind of been on a downward, you know, just her publicity level has been a little bit down. I still think she's in the running, though. So if I was going to tell you my shortlist right now, just my guess is here.
All right.
I would say you've got to put Ron DeSantis in there. You've got to put Kristi Noem in there. You've got to put Tim Scott in there. And I think you got to put, Ben Carson in there.
Yeah.
Those would be my top four that I think are the most likely right now. Now, that's just me. That's a complete guess. I have no inside information. But I think those are the people I would be looking at.
Okay. I won't tell anybody you told me.
Yeah.
Just me and you talking here. Hey, we got about 3 minutes. I want to switch gears on you if you don't mind. We got about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I want to know what in the world with the State Library Board. I mean, you're the one of the governor's appointees.
I am literally sitting in the APLS headquarters right now with Amy Minton. I believe you know her, representative, fellow board member, and we're looking at. We just got done with public comment, about 6 hours straight of public comment on some code change, and we are looking over letters that people sent in. They're now thinking it's up to possibly 6,000 or 7,000 letters that we have to go through for this public comment period. But the bottom line, unless there's something earth-shattering in here after hearing 6 hours of opinion, I think it is clear to me that something no one can argue against is that sexually explicit material should not be in our children's sections.
Thank you. Can I have some applause on that, please? There, Big Rig. Give me the applause. That's an absolute applause line right there. Shouldn't have to applaud it because it should just be automatic, but there it is.
It should be automatic. And for those who say we should not get involved or let libraries be, my answer is we didn't ask for this battle. It was handed to us when they started putting this material into children's sections. Yeah. And that's just been over the last few years, and that's why this is an issue now.
So you've been hearing public comment today, you said?
That's correct. Started 10 a.m. this morning.
I'm sure you've been called book burners and the world's coming to an end because the Nazis are taking over the libraries and all that kind of stuff. But has anybody who has been against the idea of removing sexually explicit material from kids' sections, has any one of those been able to say why they desperately want it to be in the kids' section?
A fascinating question. That's actually a note, the number one note I have on my sheet. Not a single person could explain or defend why sexually explicit material should be in a children's section.
Yeah, that's just...
there was a lot of name-calling. There was... I am definitely a radical, a racist. Think of anything else you want to put there. A Christian, a right-wing nut, a Christian radical, a Christian nationalist. And you know what? Throw the barbs. I think the important thing is that we do the right thing for the children of Alabama.
Yeah, it is. Damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, man. And well, I appreciate you being there along with my friend Amy, who is on the board with you. And she's been attacked quite a bit in the press for merely being somebody who answered the call. Anyway, good on you, Chairman Wall. And keep us posted on how that comes out, all right?
Will do. It's always good to be on the show.
All right. Thanks so much for making time. Appreciate it.
Yep.
How about that? He calls us from the library board where he's down there still reviewing, and I guess he had to step out of the room to take the call. Very cool. All right. We're going to take a break right now. We'll switch gears, talk about Biden burning some bridges, and I'll take a whole bunch of text messages. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.